guys, welcome back to the Road to Madness podcast. I'm Matt Giglio.
I'm Mindong. 6 days until March Madness tips off.
Well, it's actually 6 days until Selection Sunday. Oh. It is 8 days until March
Madness. I'm too excited.
As am I. And a lot of great stuff happening this weekend. Fortunately, I was in Maryland. Hopefully you saw the social media posts. Very rainy day in Maryland. It was on Saturday at a rugby tournament. It was not fun. I was very muddy, but good to be back in Clemson. Beautiful day outside, 61. I don't know what it's looking like for you back home, but I can't complain with the weather. It's looking phenomenal as we approach the big dance, which is even much better than the weather.
Yeah, back home for spring break. It's in the low 40s here, but feels like it's the high 20s because it's just there's been winds and gusts everywhere. I mean, I don't know if you guys can hear the wind right now, but man, it's windy outside.
Oh, yeah, it is indeed. And I believe this is the second to last AP poll that has come out today.
The last for the regular season. The last until after March Madness.
Sad stuff, man. Sad stuff indeed. But today we're just going to cover that and then keep going with the champ week. We have 1, 2, 3, 4. Four bids already into the big dance, one about to be done as well. So we'll cover those, and then we'll cover some other championship games happening later today and cover some more conference tournaments because this is the beauty of March Madness, Champ Week, baby, and a lot of stuff left to be unturned within a lot of these conferences. So very excited to see how things shake out. But without further ado, get to the polls.
Yeah, for sure. Number one team, Houston. Receiving 52 of the 62 number one votes. Number two team, UConn, receiving 6 of the number one votes. And rounding out the top three, we've seen the final four number one votes is Purdue. 4, UNC, rounding out the top 5, Tennessee. 6, Arizona. 7, Iowa State. 8, Creighton. 9, Kentucky. 10, Marquette. 11, Duke. 12, Auburn. 13, Illinois. 14, Baylor. 15, South Carolina. 16, Kansas, 17, Gonzaga, 18, Utah State, 19, Alabama, 20, BYU, 21, St. Mary's, 22, Washington State, 23, the first time making its debut on the last week of the regular season poll. Welcome to the top 25, debuting at 23, Nevada, 24, Dayton, and 25, Texas Tech, the drops, correct me if I'm wrong, South Florida was a drop. Yep. And I'd like to say, I forget the other drop. Was it Boise State?
Mountain West, close.
San Diego State, I knew it. Yep. But, yeah, the five receiving votes after that is 26, Boise State, 27, South Florida, 28, San Diego State, 29, Drake, and tie for 30 is Texas and James Madison. What are your thoughts on the AP top 25 plus 5?
Yeah, as you can see, still moving in this last week, which just shows that no team's safe. A lot of great wins happening. Shout out to Nevada, man. They really completed their resume, and they should be in the dance despite what happens in the Mountain West tournament. Beat down on Boise and then took down UNLV, and that secured them the number two spot. I guess there's a game left. But right now they're tied for second in Mountain West, which is huge for them. They should be in the pool. I mean, they should be in the tournament for sure. Another quick shout-out, Texas Tech, still going strong. Texas Tech, I mean, a team we expected to be up here, and they finally made their way back up. So shout-out to them. Top three stays the same, like you said. All three of these teams, identical records, 28-3 for Houston, UConn, and Purdue, and in the top three conferences in college basketball. Maybe the SEC is in there as well, but Big Ten and SEC are close. Shout out to that. UNC, huge rival win over Duke. UNC sweeps Duke this year, which is a pretty big surprise to a lot of people. Cormac Ryan, 31 points. Shout out to him. Phenomenal game against Duke at Cameron as well. Dalton Knecht, man, looking like the player of the year. I mean, he dropped 40. I know Tennessee lost to Kentucky, but Knecht, I mean, he's the real deal, man. Really excited to see what he does in March Madness play. He's looking phenomenal. Creighton Blue Jays, shout out to them. A huge win over Marquette. They put the beat down on Marquette, 89-75, huge win for them. And they escaped a Villanova victory. Trey Alexander came up clutch for them in this game this weekend for them, which is why Creighton moved up. And Kentucky looking strong. We saw some falls. I mean, Arizona, bad loss to USC. I was watching this game live, and USC is not a team you want to lose to, especially right now for Arizona going into Pac-12 play. Yes, they'll be in the tournament for sure, but that's not a good look against a pretty poor USC team this year. And same for Iowa State. I mean, they're a really good team at home, as we know. And a little spoiler alert, Iowa State was my pick to win March Madness. And after further consideration, I decided to change that. And I do not know where I'm going to go anymore. But Iowa State was my pick originally. But now after that loss to Kansas State, I'm going to have to resign from that and go elsewhere with what I pick. But yeah, other than that, a lot of good movement. As you can see, shout out to Utah State moving up four. Shout out to South Carolina getting back on the horse and winning. St. Mary's looks strong as well. But yeah, a lot of movement. And once we get closer to these high major conference tournaments, I expect a lot of chaos as always. Even with these mid majors, we've seen a ton of chaos already. So really excited for this conference tournament season to begin as we get towards Selection Sunday.
Yeah, for sure. You covered it best. I think it's a very, very good, very accurate poll, in my opinion. It's good to see Nevada in the top 25. I mean, they've done a phenomenal job this year. And I think they finished second in the Mountain West, one of the better conferences in college basketball. So well-deserved to Nevada. Before we get to the slate, let's go over the four bids that have been given out so far. Starting off with the very first bid, the OVC Championship Final. That was between Little Rock and Morehead State. And the winner, no surprise, in my opinion, was Morehead State. They won 69-55. Currently, they projected either a 14 seed or 15 seed. But what are your thoughts on Morehead State heading into the tournament?
Yeah, Morehead State, I believe they were the consensus out of the OVC. I mean, the OVC down conference this year, so I expect them to be a 14 seed. Lenardi has them at a 14 seed right now against Creighton, which would be interesting. But yeah, I mean, Little Rock, they're a solid team. I mean, I'm very impressed with their turnaround, but just couldn't get the job done. Morehead State won this game 69-55. And Riley Minix is a guy to watch out for. He was the leading scorer for Morehead State, averaging 21 points per game. Ninth appearance, first time since 2021 with Johnny Broom for these Morehead State Eagles. So very impressive stuff. Shout out to them. First bid is always a good one, and excited to see them back in the dance.
As am I, and if I'm a three seed, I'm pretty scared because Morehead State, I mean, they're just super methodical. I mean, they pride themselves in half-court execution, but they're one of the better half-court teams in the nation in terms of just half-court offense. And looking at the projected three seeds, you have Duke, you have Baylor, you have Kentucky, and you have Creighton. I mean, if I was any of those three seeds, I'd be pretty scared. If Kansas – and I texted you this during the OVC championship. If Kansas snuck in back into the three line, I'm taking Morehead State over a very unhealthy Kansas team. I mean, Hunter Dickinson is – I mean, his shoulder looked bad during that game. I mean, I think he dislocated his shoulder. It just looked really bad. I don't know what's going on with Kevin McCullough Jr. He seems like he's going to be out for the foreseeable future. And DeJuan Harris Jr. is not even 100% either. So, I mean, if Kansas were to sneak.
I think McCullough played this weekend against Houston.
He didn't look too good, though. Kansas in general just didn't look good at all.
He only played 15 minutes, but yeah.
Exactly. But if Kansas drew Morehead State, I'm picking that upset. I'm not even going to lie.
Yeah, Kansas a projected
four
seed. Yeah, so they're really down in dumps right now. But anyways, let's go to the next bid that is qualified. That is from the Big South in a domination of a win. I was very impressed by this score, 85-59 in a final. And Longwood, who won this tournament, wasn't even the one seed. It was UNC Asheville who was the one seed. They did not look good at all in that final game.
It was High Point that was the one seed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was Longwood the three seed then?
Longwood was the – I think they were the five seed.
Yeah, Longwood was the five seed. At 6-10 at a record. tied with Presbyterian and Charleston Southern. So yeah, this was a very surprising win, and it was a huge one for Longwood. Like I said, 85-59. I was very impressed by this. Very impressed indeed. And Michael Christmas, 18 points in the final. But Wallen Napper is the guy to watch out for. He's Longwood's leading scorer. Second appearance for Longwood. What were you saying?
Nothing. That was ESPN playing a random video.
And Longwood's second appearance, first time since 2022. So they have been here for two times in the past 3 years. So shout out to Longwood. Your thoughts on this game and Longwood?
Yeah, Longwood's been a pretty good program. I mean, this is a third straight 20-plus win season. So they've been very consistent under Griff Aldridge. They gave him a 10-year extension, so he's here for the long run. He's here until 20. He's under contract till 2034. He's done a phenomenal job so far. Longwood, we're most definitely going to see them in Dayton in the first four. I would be surprised if they're not in the first four.
Yeah, should definitely be in the first four for sure. From the looks of it right now, probably going to have to play Tennessee if Tennessee remains a one seed. So that will be an interesting game. I don't really see a 16 seed winning this year, but you never know. I mean, you make 25 brackets on ESPN, you got to have at least one 16 seed win in one of your brackets. That's how I like to roll with the dice. But,
And next up, the Atlantic Sun Championship, Stenson versus Austin Peay. And Stenson, the two seed, who's been very consistent the whole year. And they're ESPN. Oh, my
God. Tab, man.
Man. But, yeah, Stenson won 94-91 and another ad that decided to pop up.
Tab, man. Come on. What are you, a rookie?
No, but Justin Blackman, 43 points in the win. Stenson was the 2 seed, while Austin Peay, I believe, was the 5 seed or the 4 seed.
Austin Peay was the 4 seed.
4 seed, yeah. But this was a phenomenal game to watch. Stenson, a team that's been sneaky good this year that we just haven't talked about enough. I mean, 22 wins this season, their first ever NCAA tournament appearance will be in a couple weeks, and they're projected a 16 seed, maybe the last 15 seed, but they're definitely not going to be in the first four, even if they're 16 seed. What are your thoughts on Stenson heading into the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, it's always great seeing a first timer in the tournament, and we were both rooting for Stenson in this game. We always love to see the new team make it for the first time, and you saw that with Stenson's atmosphere in that final game. I mean, the fans were going crazy. They all wanted it, and Stenson definitely wanted it a lot more as well. A really good game, 94-91, like you said. I'm very impressed with that result. And Stenson was down at halftime as well, and they stormed back 58 points in the second half. And, I mean, Justin Blackman, man, 41 points, like you said. That's the real deal, man. And coming over from Grand Canyon, I was a little bit surprised why he decided to transfer to Stenson. But, he's going dancing. So, shout-out to Stenson and Jalen Blackman. They're a 16 seed, but like we say, anything's possible. So in terms of recent success with the 16 seeds, they might be the one, but probably not going up against UConn. I don't really see that happening, but you never know. I mean, it's March Madness, expect the unexpected, but huge congratulations to Stenson, first timer making it to March.
For sure.
And final conference, Arch Madness. And Arch Madness did not disappoint at all. It usually never does. But this one, we had the 1 and 2 seeds matchup in the final. It was Drake, and it was Indiana State. And this game was back and forth for the most part. Drake was up by 13 at halftime, and Indiana State storms back. But it was the Drake Bulldogs going dancing once again, 84-80 in the win. Tucker DeVries, man, I mean, he's the real deal. 21.7 points per game this year, 7th in the nation. And this is a second consecutive year that Drake makes it to March, and 7th all time for them. 28-6 record. As we said in the polls, they were in there. So even if I think win or lose, I mean, Drake needed this win a lot more than Indiana State. But I believe both teams will be going dancing, which is huge for the MVC. Another multi-bid year for them, which is great. Drake currently a 10 seed. Indiana State is currently a Where are they currently in the last four? at an 11 seed. So your thoughts on this game and MVC and Drake?
Yeah, I had Drake win this one. I thought they were just a better team, and I think they were just more prepared for what was coming for them. And yeah, Drake, second consecutive NCAA tournament, and three of the last four. I mean, I remember in 2020, I think, or 2021, they were an at-large team in the last four in. And that's where I expect Indiana State to be as well. I think they're going to be the last four in. I think they're going to have themselves a first four game in Dayton against a fellow bubble team. And I'm excited. I'm excited for both these teams. I think Drake is good enough to make a run at this thing. They were a popular upset or bracket buster last year. And who did they end up lose to? They lost to Miami.
Miami. Yep.
Yeah. I remember, I think the majority of the world had Drake winning.
Yeah.
Miami ended up making the Final Four. So,
hey, I mean, Drake held them close, though. I do remember that game specifically.
Drake held them
close.
And Indiana State, I think we'll make the tournament as well.
Mm-hmm.
Airing any bid thieves out there, but I'm excited to see a two-bid MVC. It should be a two-bid MVC every year.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And yeah, really happy that the MVC is a two-bid for sure. I gotta love them in majors. And I know Indiana State will probably play a high major team in that first game in Dayton, but I mean, they're probably gonna want it more. So,
how about an Indiana State New Mexico first four game?
That'd be great. That'd be great. Yeah, I was looking at the lines though. Indiana State is projected favorite to make the tournament. New Mexico is not, which is surprising. So New Mexico going to need to do some damage in the MVC tournament in order to maybe make it. But as we know, the bubble watch is very close right now. New Mexico is currently a first four out alongside Villanova, A&M, and Iowa. And the last four in right now, Indiana State, Virginia, Colorado, and St. John's. So I'd love New Mexico to be in there over a couple of those teams. But we'll see how things shake out in conference tournament time.
For sure. And we'll get to the two finals that happened today before we cover the other tournaments also happening today. The first final is in the Sun Belt. It is James Madison, the two seed, versus a Cinderella team, Arkansas State. Did you expect Arkansas State to be here? Because I didn't. And Arkansas State got in because of a major buzzer beater. Half court buzzer beater against App State, the one seed. So,
yeah.
Arkansas State, just happy to be here. James Madison expected to be here. What are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I mean, Arkansas State was the four seed, and I remember we talked about being very impressed with their turnaround because I mean, last year they were a bottom three team in the Sun Belt, and this year top four team, and now have the chance to go dancing, which is phenomenal. But yeah, this would be an interesting game. I do think the Cinderella run ends here. I think James Madison is a legit team. And I know they had some lulls in the middle of the year, but 30-3 on the year, James Madison is a very solid team. And they haven't really held up to anyone so far in this March Madness tournament, in this Sun Belt tournament. I mean, they beat Texas State convincingly. I mean, a 5-point win, but that's a convincing win. Convincingly beat Marshall and convincingly beat Coastal to get here. So I will be taking James Madison, two seed, to go dancing. Is there a chance? Probably not, that there's a two bid here. I highly doubt it. It would have been App State, but that loss really just killed App State's chances, which is unfortunate for sure. But yeah, I do believe if James Madison wins this, well, regardless, they're going to be in. But I don't know. I love a good Cinderella story, so I might lean a little bit towards Arkansas State. But in longevity, I'm probably going to pick James Madison to win this game.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. I agree with you. I could picture a two-bid Sun Belt if App State was the opponent instead of Arkansas State. App State's a quad one loss, whereas Arkansas State is a quad three loss. So, I mean, that just changes everything, a quad one loss versus a quad three loss. So if James Madison were to lose, their tournament chances is definitely out. As for App State, I hope I see them in the NIT regardless of whatever this new format is going to be, because they are an NIT team for sure. I think they can make a deep run in NIT. But, yeah, James Madison, they're going to be a real popular bracket buster for a lot of the fans.
For sure. Next conference up, we got the SoCon. And the SoCon also features a favorite and a Cinderella, which is not unlike the SoCon. That's definitely like the SoCon for sure. Samford, the one seed, is in the final. Samford has an easy go around thus far. Beat Mercer, beat Furman pretty convincingly thus far. They are 15-3 in the conference, 28-5 on the year. A very solid team, as we've seen throughout SoCon play. And their opponent, East Tennessee State. Can you believe it? Because I cannot. East Tennessee State was the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7th seed in this SoCon. A huge win yesterday in OT against Chattanooga. It was an 85-84 win. Kamari Peterson had the game win. Oh, sorry. Caron Boyd had the game-winning layup. Kamari Peterson, 27 points in the OT win. Very impressive stuff with ETSU as the 7th seed. And if you do recall, ETSU – they had that whole scandal with the coaching situation, and this was not too long ago, a couple of years or so. I think it was a year or two ago now. So ETSU, a really big turnaround. So huge shout-out to them. Who do you got winning this game?
I got Samford here. They've been dominant the whole year, and this is definitely the team that is going to bust a lot of brackets, in my opinion. I'm going to – whoever they draw, I'm probably going to pick the upset here because they're probably going to be a 12 seed, and they're a dangerous 12 seed for sure. I mean, this is a fun team to watch, a very fun team to watch.
For sure. I'm also going to pick Samford. I mean, I'd love to see a Cinderella, like I said, so I might lean towards ETSU, but in all reality, I'm probably going to pick Samford to win this game. Samford are projected 13 seed right now, so that could be a dangerous 13 for sure. They got a lot of good options to go to in this. They got Anchor as their top option, averaging 15.5 points per game right now. They got a couple guys to go to. Dylan Bailey, also a guy to look out for the Samford team. Yeah, this team's really good. They have a lot of guys just dropping 28s, 25s, 26s. Jaden Campbell, another guy. They got a lot of options. So Jalen McCary, they got a lot of guys that drop a 25-point game every night, which is huge for Samford. I got Samford winning this game. And, I mean, I love ETSU, like I said, to win this game, but I got to go with Samford.
Yeah, and obviously with the two finals, we'll cover the two auto bids tomorrow. We'll give you an outlook on our opinions on where they fit in the bracket and our opinions on how deep they will go. As for other tournaments, the CAA Championship semifinals are also today. The first matchup, we got the 5-seed Townsend versus the 1-seed Charleston. Are you surprised that Charleston won the CAA?
I am. I thought it was UNC Wilmington's year. I really did. I thought this team was the favorite to go into this, but Charleston has looked very good. Beat Hofstra convincingly and beat Monmouth in that semifinal game pretty convincingly as well. I am a little surprised Charleston was the 1 seed, but they've looked really good. 15-3 in conference play for sure.
Yeah, and on the other side of the semifinal, we have the 3-seed Hofstra hosting the 7-seed Stony Brook. Who do you have taking the CAA championship?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I'm very impressed with Stony Brook making it here as a 7 seed. That definitely caught my eye. Hofstra is a team that we expect to be near the top of the CAA, usually year in and year out. I mean, they got a lot of guys to go to. Tyler Thomas, one of the best guys in this conference. He's an absolute scorer, and he's phenomenal. I do see a Hofstra and Charleston final for sure, and – I mean, it's hard to not pick Charleston considering how good they have been in recent past couple weeks. I like to pick an underdog, so I'm going to go with Hofstra to win this tournament. It's going to be Hofstra-Charleston, I bet. I'm going to take Hofstra to win this thing.
I agree with you. I think Hofstra's going to win this thing, but I think Townsend's going to pull off the upset in Charleston. I mean, they've been on the road every game in the CAA so far, and they've won every game. I mean – they're good. They've been a good program for a while now, and I don't know when the last time they made the tournament was, but they've had a lot of 20-plus win seasons, but no tournament appearance. I think that's going to continue. As for Hofstra, I think they're on paper. I think they're the most talented team in the CAA by far. I think Charleston has the best coaching, the best system. But I think Hofstra, based on sheer talent, is the best in the conference. And I think that's what's going to propel them into the tournament.
Definitely agree. Next conference tournament up, we got semifinal matchups for the Horizon League. And as you expected, chaos has ensued in the Horizon League. We have the 1 seed is still in here, which is Oakland. They take on the 7 seed, or the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 seed, actually, Cleveland State. Cleveland State took down Youngstown State. I was very sad. And Cleveland State beat them by 12, which was pretty impressive. So, yeah, Cleveland State and Oakland is in the one side. And then the other side, we got Milwaukee and Northern Kentucky. Milwaukee was the 5 seed. Northern Kentucky was the 6 seed. So, as you can tell, chaos has ensued in the Horizon League, as we expected. B.J. Freeman, 32 points for Milwaukee in the win over Green Bay, who was the 3 seed. And Northern Kentucky, I believe they beat – oh, wait, who did Northern Kentucky beat? Wright State, I believe. Let me fact check this real quick.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes, 99-97 OT win. Marquez Warwick, 35. That guy is an absolute dog, and that was a really good game in OT. Huge win to Northern Kentucky. But your thoughts on what happens here in the Horizon League?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I think Cleveland State's going to win this all. They're the 8 seed, but they're a pretty dangerous 8 seed. And I remember we covered the Horizon League way before it even started. I said, I think Cleveland State's going to upset everybody and somehow make its way over there. And now without Youngstown in and without Wright State in, my two finalists, I think this is Cleveland State's tournament. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I really do think it's very close within all these teams. I'd love to see some chaos, so I'm definitely going to root for Cleveland State for sure. Will they win? I don't think so. I do think Oakland does advance to the final. And then that other game, man, I'm looking at Northern Kentucky.
You love Northern Kentucky.
I love Northern Kentucky, man. But I believe I actually picked Milwaukee to win this whole thing, if I'm not mistaken. I was very high on Milwaukee. So I hope the winner of that game wins this thing, to be honest, whether it's Northern Kentucky or Milwaukee. Whoever wins that, I hope they do end up winning this whole thing. But as we can see, the Horizon League is chaos. And if Oakland does win, Oakland would be projected probably a 13, 14. Let me see. Where is Oakland? Oakland is a 14 seed right now. So it will be a low seed, whoever ends up winning this thing. But, yeah, you can definitely assure that whoever wins in the Horizon League will definitely pose a threat to a higher seed in March Madness for sure, because we've already seen madness within the Horizon League. Why not see madness within the Big Dance from this Horizon League as expected? But, yeah, this should be an interesting outcome, whoever ends up winning this thing. So definitely keep your eyes peeled for this one tomorrow.
For sure. And next up, we go to the Midwest, where the Summer League Championship will be taking place. Semifinals, we got the classic 1-4 matchup, South Dakota State versus St. Thomas. Just a reminder, St. Thomas is not eligible for the NCAA tournament yet. So if they do beat South Dakota State, the winner of the next semifinal will receive the bid. And the other matchup of that semifinal is a good old 6 seed versus 7 seed matchup. We got Denver versus Omaha. Two teams we did not expect to make it to this point, but Summit League Championship, who do you have in this one?
Yeah, I mean, this one will be interesting. I mean, as you know, the Jackrabbits are the potential favorites to win this whole thing, and they haven't really shown any signs.
They are the favorites to win this
whole thing. Yeah, I know.
I know.
But, yeah, they took care of business against Oral Roberts the other day. And St. Thomas, huge win over the 2 seed, or not the 2 seed. That was the 5 seed, North Dakota State, in that matchup. And, yeah, the 2 seed North Dakota got knocked off by Omaha. Frankie Fadler, 34 in the win. Shout out to Omaha. Really good win. And then Denver took down UMKC. And it was, of course, Tommy Bruner. The dude has been on fire. 24.2 points per game. This guy is an absolute stud. I mean, he's dropping 40 points, 30 points. All over the place. So, yeah, the winner of this, I mean, like I said, the favorite is South Dakota State to win this thing, as many of them would probably expect. But I'd like to see a little underdog story. So I'm going to go with the winner of Denver and Omaha to win this whole thing. And I'm going to lean towards Omaha. I really am. I don't know why, but I'm going to lean towards Omaha on this one to win this whole thing.
Wow. I'm very surprised. I'm picking the Jackrabbits.
Oh, yeah, of course you are.
Yeah, you know I am. I'm picking
the Jackrabbits. I'm chaos. I'm a big chaos guy. I said this to people were like, who do you have winning this thing? I go, I'm not going to tell you. I just know that there's going to be chaos, and I'm going to go for chaos, especially in one of my brackets. I'm going chaos. So, yeah, I like to see all the chaos possible. But if the Jackrabbits do win, I mean, whoever wins this thing will be a 16 seed for sure. that will be expected.
For sure. And last semifinal of the day is the West Coast Conference Tournament. And no surprise, the top four seeds make up the semifinals. That would be the one seed St. Mary's taking on the four seed Santa Clara, and the two seed Gonzaga taking on San Francisco, who is the three seed. Good old 1-2-3-4 matchup and four great programs. Who do you have winning this West Coast Conference?
Yeah, four great programs indeed. But I think in reality, we know who the final's going to be. It's going to be Gonzaga and St. Mary's. That's kind of expected. I mean, Gonzaga and St. Mary's are both ranked, still in the polls. And I do believe we will see this matchup once again for the third time this year in the final of the West Coast Conference. And who I will be taking? I mean, either way, both teams are in the field for sure. I mean, I'd rather I don't know actually who I'd rather.
Come
I'd probably rather Gonzaga to win, honestly. Actually, no, I wouldn't. I'd rather Gonzaga be a lower seed than St. Mary's. So I will take St. Mary's to win. St. Mary's is falling to an 8 seed right now in the tournament projected field. So if they do beat Gonzaga in the final, they'll probably elevate a couple spots. Gonzaga is currently a 7 seed. So I think they will flip-flop whoever wins that final game. But that would be definitely something interesting to see. Whoever comes out on top of this West Coast Conference will probably get the higher bid. So interesting stuff to see. I'm going to go with St. Mary's, but I would not be surprised if Gonzaga wins this.
Totally agree with you, but I'm going San Francisco to pull off an upset against Gonzaga here. And as much as I want a bid thief, I don't know if San Francisco – I mean, San Francisco is a terrific team this year, but – I don't know if they're capable of beating Gonzaga and St. Mary's back-to-back. That's just way too much for them. I think they beat Gonzaga and advance to the final and where they lose to St. Mary's. And I hope St. Mary's is a 6 or 7 seed. That's definitely a more favorable spot for them compared to an 8 or 9 seed. And even if they're 8 or 9 seed, I'm picking them to beat a 1 seed in the second round because, you know, I'm a big St. Mary's guy. But in reality, I do think – I think St. Mary's wins this. I mean, they finally won the West Coast Conference Tournament after 4 years of packing them. They finally made me happy, and hopefully they get the double.
Definitely. And one more game I want to cover. I mean, we're probably going to do an episode tomorrow, but there's a lot more tournaments I'd like to cover tomorrow. I'm going to quickly go with this one. It is the final of this conference, and it is the NEC. And as expected, Merrimack finally has a chance to go dancing for the first time, finally eligible. They are the one seed. They have made it to the final. They will have home court advantage in this one. Their opponent, the 7th seed. It's one of your favorite programs in the NEC, I believe. It is Wagner that they are taking on. Wagner, really good stuff, taking down top seed Central Connecticut State in that semifinal game by 10, which was very impressive. And, Wagner has had a pretty good resume to get here, beat Fairleigh Dickinson, beat Sacred Heart, and now taking down the one seed Central Connecticut. I know that Merrimack and Central Connecticut were tied for the one seed, but Central Connecticut did get that bid to advance. They got the qualifier, the head-to-head, excuse me, to get the one seed in this conference tournament, but it is Merrimack that will be hosting this one. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Merrimack's going to win this one. I think they've ran the conference for the last 5 years, and I don't expect that to change whatsoever. I think Merrimack is definitely the best conference, and they're moving conferences next year. I think they're moving to the MAAC, not mistaken. So, I mean, Joe Gallo's done a terrific job. I mean, they're moving conferences. They just joined Division I 5 years ago, and all of a sudden, like, they're moving to a better conference now. So Merrimack's definitely on the uprise, and I think they get their first ever tournament bid and their first ever year of eligibility.
Yeah, that'd be huge. I mean, I'd really love to see Merrimack, the only Massachusetts team to make it to the dance. When was the last time a Massachusetts team was made it to the dance? That's a really good trivia question. I couldn't tell you. It was probably Harvard. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It was probably Harvard that made it dancing. And I don't know what BU status was. I don't know. Did BU win the other day? I don't think they did.
Oh, they were up by 21 to Lehigh, and they lost.
Yeah. So, yeah, the only chance for a Mass team to go dancing. So that's fun. I will take Merrimack to win this thing, and they will be in a first four team in Dayton. But hey, as long as you see a Mass team in the dance, I'm a happy man. But yeah, I want to look up who was the last Massachusetts team to make it. Oh, actually, you know who it probably was? That was probably Northeastern against Kansas. That's probably what it was, actually. But
right.
Yeah, but still, that was a couple of years ago. So Mass teams don't really make it to the dance, but you never know. I mean, we could see UMass pull that out in the A-10, which is happening tomorrow, but we will cover that tomorrow.
For sure, and I will be at UMass Lowell tomorrow for the America East semifinal game against Bryant.
Cover that tomorrow as well. But yeah,
traveling with the team, get to be on the bus, so I'm excited. We got to do a podcast before that, so the game starts at 6. I gotta be there by 4, so let's make some time.
We got some time for sure, and yeah, beautiful stuff going on. For those who did not know by now, you should. Bracket challenge is underway. Oh, I forgot to show this picture, by the way. Look what I brought over. I got the old COVID RTM. Yeah, we look a lot different. I was looking at this picture. Look how different we look. That's
you got a mullet now. I got a perm now. And...
yeah, I'm growing my stash out for March as well, as you can maybe tell. Just experimenting, you know. My mom doesn't love it. Sorry, Mom, if you're watching this, but I'm gonna try it out. But anyways, for those who did not know, the bracket challenge is underway. One bracket, $6. Two brackets, $10. Getting a lot of Mass joining this. And we do expect high numbers come Selection Sunday time. As always, a lot of you late Larrys like to join us Selection Sunday, which is fine. But that just causes us a lot more stress. But it's
you know
okay.
What? You know what? I'm gonna make an announcement. If you watch this episode and you mention this episode, you are getting a 20% discount. You will get two brackets for $8 if you mention this episode.
Fair enough. There you go. So, yeah, that's a good idea. So you heard it here first. Make sure to join. If you'd like to join, shoot us a DM on Twitter or Instagram. If you have our own personal numbers, shoot us a text. Twitter handles, Instagram handle, @RTM_podcast. Make sure to check that out. We love to see everyone join the Bracket Challenge. Always a great time of the year to pick who you think is going to win, because usually you're not right, but usually no one else is right either. So that's the beauty of March Madness. And, yeah, so make sure to check that out. But for now, we will see you tomorrow. Any closing thoughts from you?
No.
All righty. So with that being said, we will see you tomorrow. Make sure to check the episode out at @RTM_podcast. Streaming on all platforms. But, yeah, we'll be back tomorrow to cover some more conference tournaments and give some results for the bids that qualify. So that's all we got for today's episode. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, it's always March, baby.
It's always March, baby. Thank you guys for tuning in.